We're going to be right back with a live via telephone interview with New Age pianist and composer Rachel LaFond right after we do a station identification and a piece of music composed by Rachel called Skyscraper Sunrise from her project The 52.
This is solo pianist and composer Rachel LaFond, and you are listening to the beautiful sounds of Shades of Classics with your host, John Iverson, here on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, Canada. Thank you for listening.
That was Skyscraper Sunrise by Rachel LaFond from her project, The 52. And I'm just going to tell you a little bit about Rachel. Rachel LaFond is an American composer and pianist living as an expat in New Zealand. Rachel is the daughter of a piano teacher, a former piano teacher herself, and has classical training in Vienna and at the University of Washington. Rachel's music combines a technically proficient approach to composition with an instinctive ability to draw in the listener and convey profound emotion. Her music has been described as captivating, soulful, and deeply personal. Her two primary influences are Ludovico Einaudi and David Lawns. Rachel is currently releasing new music and custom artwork weekly as part of a year-long project called The 52. She sees The 52 as an opportunity to expand her creativity while staying highly connected with her listeners and fans. Rachel now joins me live via telephone from New Zealand. Good morning, Rachel, and welcome to Shades of Classics and to CKUW.
Thank you, John. Good morning to you, too.
Well, I'm going to start things off just because I know you've really gone above and beyond to make this interview happen. I want you to tell our listeners the date and the time it is in New Zealand.
Well, it's Monday, January 6th. At 4:06 a.m.
So there you go. It's the middle of the night almost. And
it was. I was trying to decide if it was super early or super late.
Yeah.
I think it's just right on the edge.
Yeah, somewhere in between there. So we're going to start things off with you just telling us a little bit about yourself, where you were born, how you grew up, and how you eventually became an expat residing in New Zealand.
Yeah, sure thing. I was actually born near Seattle, so in the U.S. And my mother was a piano teacher, so I grew up with that in my home, and I started learning to play the piano when I was three. I actually started playing the piano teaching piano when I was 11.
Wow.
Yes. In hindsight, I think maybe an 11-year-old teaching piano was a little bit tricky, but, you know, I loved it. Mm-hmm. I spent two hunks of time when I was a teenager studying piano in Vienna with a professor at the university there.
Mm-hmm.
And then later I came back to the Seattle area and I went to the University of Washington to study piano. And went on to teach piano after that and sort of perform as a classical artist in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2015, my partner David and I quit our jobs and sold everything we owned to travel around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we spent a year doing that, and we spent 3 months of that time in New Zealand, and we just fell in love with it here. And, you know, we'd already sold everything, so mm-hmm. we figured we would continue the adventure by settling as expats in New Zealand, and that just means like we decided to immigrate to New Zealand and sort of be strangers in a strange land, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. So your primary influences musically, as I mentioned, Ludovico Einaudi and David Lawns, and in fact, you even worked with David. Tell us what it was like working with this wonderful pianist and composer.
Well, David's a family friend. I've actually known him mm-hmm. since I was a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was working on my second album, Encounters with a Beautiful Kind, I sent him a few pieces and he said, hey, why don't you come visit me in Cyprus and we can workshop some of these together.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so fantastic to work together at the piano. He and his wife, Christine Amory, had some great suggestions for me that actually reminded me of a whole bunch of things I learned in my classical training, but I just haven't been quite connecting the dots. In my composing, working with them helped me kind of join my more intuitive, inspirational side with my more mm-hmm. structured classical training.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely made me a stronger composer.
Mm-hmm. Now, you enjoy collaborating with other artists on a variety of different projects. Tell us about some of the people that you've worked with, and is there anyone that you would really like to collaborate with down the road?
Yes.
Of course.
So in the past year, I've done quite a lot of collaborating as part of my weekly release project, The 52.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote a sort of metal-esque piano duet called Stormstruck with pianist and composer Scott D. Davis, who's a good friend of mine. And he has a very different style from my style. He's the sort of rock concert pianist. Our duet has string plucking and palm muting, and that one was released as number 26 mm-hmm. in my project, The 52.
Mm-hmm.
I've also collaborated with flutist Al Jewer. He's a new age and ambient flutist, and we wrote a piece called a very ethereal piece called Evanescence that released as number 27 in my project, The 52.
Yes.
And he plays many American, Native American flutes and silver concert flutes, and he also does some producing.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mike Blomendahl is my amazing mastering engineer. He's also a composer and a producer, and he's collaborated with me on some beautiful orchestrations of my pieces, including mm-hmm. all the pieces from my Halloween album, Well Past Midnight, and Shades of Solitude Embrace, where he adds some really beautiful, soulful guitar performing.
Mm-hmm.
Shades of Solitude was released number 12 of the 52.
Okay.
And that's really just some of them. Like, I mm-hmm. really enjoy yeah. working with others. And Blue Sky, I'd love to write something with the piano guys or Lindsey Stirling.
There you go. Now, you've taken classical training as part of your musical education. Were there any particular composers that had a profound influence on you during this phase of your training?
My very favorite was always Rachmaninoff.
Mm-hmm.
I could just listen to his music forever. I also love Chopin and Beethoven. One aspect of me as a class when I was in my classical training, though, is I could really grow to love anything. I'm just a very positive spirit, so once I spent the time and energy to study and understand something, I'd inevitably love it, and it would just become incorporated into I guess my favorite. Mm-hmm.
Now I was wondering, now you lived in Washington State, so you were close to Vancouver, British Columbia. I just wondered if you know of the Canadian composer Michael Conway Baker. He lives in North Vancouver.
I don't.
Yeah, he writes beautiful music. He's kind of different from a lot of the modern classical composers in that he still injects that harmony and melody into his music. Very beautiful composer. You might want to check him up. Yeah. Now, do you feel that this classical training influenced your compositional style and your performance?
Oh, absolutely. I think given the number of years I spent in classical training, it's just inevitable that it would really strongly influence my compositional and my performance style. I've had actually a lot of colleagues that I've been playing concerts with, express that they can clearly see my training and both the style of my composition and also the ease and the passion with which I perform. For instance, when I perform in live, my motions are really quite dramatic, almost like a dance. And I've been told it's quite captivating, and it's definitely my classical training that has, and playing, I think, from such a tiny age that taught me to do that so comfortably and easily, I guess.
And you're listening to Shades of Classics on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, Canada. We're live via telephone with Rachel Lafond. She's in New Zealand. And Rachel, where do you draw inspiration for your compositions?
My inspiration emerges from my strongest emotions. Mm-hmm. So a piece might be about me doing something specific, like sailing or scuba diving or mourning. Or they may be about a more internal emotional experience. Sometimes music just comes out of nowhere, honestly, like a bolt of lightning. It'll start playing in my head, and I'll need to rush to a piano to figure it out, or at least to hum it into my phone to revisit later.
Yeah, that seems to be a thing that happens with a lot of composers. I see the music just sort of flows out of them.
It's a little bit, when it first started happening to me, when I first started writing music, it was almost like this strange magic, from the ether just coming to me like, oh, all right, I guess we're doing that right now.
Yeah.
So, and then my go ahead.
No, that's okay. Can finish what you were saying.
Oh, I was just going to say my current project that I'm working on, the 52, which is I'm releasing a single every week for a year. And it's pushed me to create music a little more on demand. So I've learned how to create my own inspiration. So I might start with a challenge like, I want to write a blues piece, or I want to write a piece to fit this mood suggested by a fan on Twitter.
There you go.
And then I'll kind of noodle around on the piano searching for that. And then there's a click when I find it. It's almost like it exists somewhere out there, and I find it, and then the emotion just sort of floods in to fill the gap.
Now, your music is described as captivating, soulful, and deeply personal, and as you have been talking about, how do you manage to just achieve this continually musically?
That's a really good question. Sometimes it's a little bit of a mystery to me. My music, sometimes feels like it just happens to me, but I do write music born out of my own emotional experience, and I'm a really deeply emotional person. And I strive to always sort of authentically engage with what's happening in my own mind and kind of transmute that into music with as much clarity as I can. I've been told that listening to my music often does take people on a really kind of powerful internal emotional journey. And these experiences are deeply personal because, of course, what each person is thinking or feeling as they listen is unique based on their own heart and their own lives. And my music is really just a conduit through which listeners can process, experience, and relive their own emotions and their most meaningful experiences, which is it's pretty fantastic and inspirational for me as a human being to be a part of, I'm doing this thing for myself, writing this music, and then that it can be a beautiful thing for other people as well.
That's very true. You have a technically proficient approach to composition with an instinctive ability to draw in the listener and convey profound emotion. I'm sort of the opinion that conveying emotion is something that can't be learned. It's just something you're born with. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, for me, it's always been very instinctive. Mm-hmm. It's just like you said, it's not ever something I've consciously developed, mm-hmm. And it's always come very naturally to me. As to whether it can be learned, that's a good question.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It just doesn't seem to me. It just seems to me that it seems that I've, at least from what I've experienced listening to various artists, that it's always they either have it or they don't. It's kind of almost a black and white type thing. It's either one or the other. I'm not sure. That's sort of where I've drawn the opinion that it's not something that you can learn, because otherwise, you know, people would have learned it, you would think.
You know, actually, my own listening experience has been the same. So yeah. I would agree with that.
Mm. Now, just step us briefly through the creation process when you're crafting one of your music compositions, kind of from start to finish almost.
Okay. Well, every piece is different, but usually it starts with an earworm, just like I was talking about. It'll sort of come in from the ether, and I'll hum it into my phone or go straight to the piano if I can. And sometimes the music flows really quickly and easily. Sometimes I'll grab a piece of paper to like chart out the form and the sections of the piece and, you know, where I want the verses to be and where I want the hooks to be and what have you. Other times I might have a great hook or a great first 90 seconds and then get a bit stuck. And that's when I think my training, I can bring that to bear and kind of consider the various options for developing what I have already. I've absolutely written pieces in one day or even just a couple of hours. And other times pieces have kind of percolated in my mind and my ears for months before they were completely done. But these days the turnaround is a lot faster.
Yeah, well, you got to get it done within the week, right? So
yes, exactly. Yeah,
that kind of speeds the process up a little bit. Now, let's talk about the 52 now. You've talked briefly a little bit about it. It's a very daunting task for an artist to undertake, especially considering that it's not just music that you're doing, but art as well. Tell us more about this project and why you decided to undertake it.
Well, the 52 is, as you said, I'm releasing a new single every week for a year. And that does include custom-made artwork that I put together. I started it last March. And, last March I had released 3 albums at that point, and I wanted to try something radically different and new, especially with, you know, the way people listening to music has been kind of changing and new things have been becoming popular. You know, I wanted to try something really different, challenge myself and push myself to try new things. Like in the past year, I've released my first performance of a classical piece. I released my own interpretation of Clair de Lune. Mm-hmm. My first cover songs, my first co-written collaborations, my first multi-instrumental and even vocal works.
Mm-hmm.
And I've kind of been able to dive into new moods and styles. And I mean, more importantly, it's like I've grown as a human in the past year in terms of what I'm capable of and how quickly I can be creative and how well I know myself.
Yes.
I also get to share with my fans every week. And like, we basically have this ongoing conversation and connection about the music and the art that I've been releasing, which has been really magical.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you feel that the 52 is achieving the goals that you've set for it thus far?
Oh, that's a good question. It's most definitely helped me to grow as a composer in so many ways. I've just so quickly learned so many skills.
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest thing. And that bit that I mentioned before about helping me grow as a human, I was not expecting that. That wasn't part of the goal, but it's certainly part of the benefit. And I have seen steady, strong growth on, like, say, streaming services. But I haven't had much chance to focus on growth and promotion yet because I've been just so busy composing and recording, and I've been on tour a couple of times this year.
Mm-hmm.
I've released just an incredible amount of new music over the past year, so I'm sure I'll see more growth over the next year.
Mm-hmm. Now, as you mentioned, you've been doing some touring and whatnot. Have you any plans to tour in North America, like in the U.S. or in Canada at all in the next little while? Or I guess maybe after the 52 is done.
Well, first when the 52 is done, I plan to spend at least a month or maybe more in bed.
There you go. You got to recover.
But I do plan to go on tour with the 52 next year. I have a lot of my sort of piano friends and colleagues, mm-hmm. many of whom I'm sure you know, have invited me to come play concerts with them.
Yes.
And we'll probably be looking at like kind of the latter half of next year, because I plan to do a big tour, not just, you know, 12 mm-hmm. or 15 dates, but more. And of course, the project in general isn't totally done when that 52nd song is released into the world.
You know,
I've got a metric ton of sheet music to finalize and release.
There you go.
And I'm planning to like film videos. So basically the end of the year of creation really just means that kind of the project is just getting started.
Yeah, it just takes a different direction. That's all. So mm-hmm. have you ever been to Canada?
I've been to British Columbia.
Yeah.
That's really it. I've certainly never been to Winnipeg, and yeah. I have friends all over Canada that have asked me to come play concerts. So,
well, there you go. So you're going to have to come to Winnipeg too.
That sounds like a fantastic idea.
Yeah, we have lots of support for the, you know, new age style and neoclassical style of music here in Winnipeg. So I think that you know, you'd be welcomed with open arms here.
Oh, that's fantastic to know. I would love to come visit. Maybe not in the winter, though.
It's no, you don't want to.
Cold.
Although this winter so far has actually been pretty mild. Like today it's only -4, so that's kind of like way above what it normally is at this time of year. January is usually 30 below. Yeah.
Oh my God. I don't think I've ever been in temperatures that cold.
Yeah, no, well, you know, Washington State more along the lines of what British Columbia is like, what Vancouver is like, and you know, it's a lot milder there than here. But yeah, pretty cold. So, do you have any plans to do an album with, say, like a symphony orchestra, say something along the lines of what Secret Garden does, or you know, something like that with a sort of an orchestra?
That's a great question, and it's funny that you picked that out, because I've been thinking about what I want to do after the 52 is over, you know, creatively, aside from all that other stuff that I mentioned. And I am really excited, mostly to dig in and really like spend a good chunk of time really deeply developing a new project, because this past year has been such a quick turnaround kind of weekly timeline.
Mm-hmm.
And I do love the idea of developing some orchestral or even kind of electronic spaces,
yes.
For my piano to exist in.
Mm-hmm.
My piece, it was release number 25 of the 52. It was Just Beyond the Horizon, was my first piano and cello piece.
Yes.
And it was such a magical experience to write that and to kind of, sometimes I really do feel like my music just sort of comes together by itself and I'm just witnessing it. Mm-hmm. So to witness that come together and then listen to it afterwards, was just amazing, and I would absolutely love to work with a symphony orchestra.
Mm-hmm. So any other plans for the future for you, like album-wise?
Well, I've had invitations from many of my piano friends to do collaborations, and non-piano friends, in fact, and I'm sure there will be some of that. I absolutely love collaborating with other artists. There's something about like the energy. Gets me out of my own head, and I get to learn, and you know, from the perspectives of other beautiful human beings, which is super fun. And like I said, orchestral or electronic spaces. I may even add some vocals, but definitely collaborating with other artists. I've got so many great ideas, and you know, after this project, one thing is I know I can do anything I set my mind to. So it's just a matter of deciding.
There you go. Well, we certainly wish you the best of luck, Rachel, in your future with the music and the art that you compose. And I'm going to end today's interview by playing another piece from the 52. That actually, I guess, one of the latest ones, last week's I Want It That Way. Can you just tell us briefly about that piece?
Okay, so this is my last release of 2019, and I thought one of the things I hadn't done before this project was do any cover songs, and I thought, you know what, I want to do something really silly and fun. You know, I'm a woman in my 30s, and I was like, what's really going to speak to other, you know, like, you know, other people around my age? And I thought, you know what, I am going to write a cover of the Backstreet Boys. this is a Backstreet Boys, you know, sort of like mega pop hit, I Want It That Way. And a funny little tidbit about this, I wrote this piece in one day, start to finish. I had, it was right before my last recording session, and I was about to travel to the U.S. I was in a really, really tight timeline. And like I said, I had one day to write this cover song, and it took me about 6 hours to write, and then I had to practice it because it's not the easiest thing in the world to play, and then I recorded it in the same day. I'm particularly proud about that turnaround right there.
Okay. Well, thanks again, Rachel. I appreciate you either staying up late or getting up early, whichever you prefer, to make this interview happen.
My pleasure.
And you take care. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you for having me, John.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that was Rachel LaFond, New Age pianist and composer, live from New Zealand. And you heard all about her music and all about her project of 52. And now here is the piece that she was talking about, I Want It That Way, Rachel LaFond, from her project, the 52. And that was pianist and composer Rachel LaFond with I Want It That Way from her project, The 52. And you can certainly check out Rachel LaFond by going to her website, rachellafond.com, RachellaFond.com.